You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
Found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. Jim, he's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice wants what you think I've seen. Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his stylus knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they gonna have out in the St. John's Wall. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Scardy. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
I'm well, my good friend and co-host. How are you?
I am fine also. It almost seems like summer.
Well, I don't know where you're at. It's been snowing where I've been, and then 80 degrees 3 days ago, you know. Over
I know. Well, I'm still in
the
80-degree mark.
Southeast. You know, I want to share something with you, Bill. I've never seen such hogwash, things that are going on today in the Bigfoot world. And when I stop and I think about it and I read these stories or I hear these stories and I say to myself, either we were so ahead of ourselves 40 years ago, because a lot of this stuff is surfacing now. I don't know if you understand where I'm coming from on this, but they're talking about footprints. They're talking about hair samples. They're talking about vocalizations. And now they're talking about there's a day that goes by or a week that goes by. I correct that. I stand corrected on this. A week that goes by that somebody around the globe comes up with another picture of one of these creatures. My gosh, in the last week alone, In the last week alone, Bill, there's been some footage of a woman took a creature. Won't use her name now. She won't use her name. From Georgia. There's another one up in Humboldt County in California that took some footage or pictures. There's another one that took pictures down in the Fresno area. There's another one that was down in Detroit area or in Illinois up in the woods. And in Florida. I'm thinking to myself, my gosh. Now, it's all looked upon now, and because I somebody sent me this link, happened to be today, and it was a newsreel link about this woman in Georgia. And if you listen to the commentary on these two disc jockeys, it's absurd. Totally absurd. I've got to tell you this. I don't know who they are, but I'll give them an invitation anytime. You want me on your show? I'll come on your show, and I'll tell you a thing or two. I'm just so tired of these naysayers. I'm so tired of these people picking these poor people apart that gives them subject matter to talk about. And you know why the woman doesn't want to divulge her name? For people like that.
But yeah,
that tear them apart over the air. You know, ma'am, I don't know who you are, but if the word gets back to you, I'd love to speak with you. I saw some positiveness out of that film you took, and I give you passion from my heart to see how those dummies, those morons, tear you apart. I've got broad shoulders, ma'am. Been in this business a long time. So it's like water off a duck's back with me. If there's any consolation or anything I can help you with, don't hesitate to get a hold of us. You go to searchingforbigfoot.com. You have our phone numbers. And gosh, Bill knows how many times we've been inundated in this last week and all hours of the night with sightings and people telling us their stories. But I've got to tell everybody out there, for crying out loud, you would have not known about this 40 years ago. And 40 years ago is a long time, more so than a lot of you people are on this earth. But it's proven one thing to me, ladies and gentlemen. It's proven that this electronic world that we have, i.e. cell phones, cell cameras, iPads, the communication game across this handheld videos that you can do with great pixelization, the size of a pack of cigarettes, for crying out loud. In my days, it was a Bolex, and that where you had to crank these damn things, and you don't know what you got. You have to send out the damn film, and today's time, you shoot it, and you press a button, you see exactly what you get. So what I'm trying to say, it's great with this new scientific world in which we live with, but my God, media people, these people are kind enough to give you what they found. Give them the benefit of the doubt before your first word out of your mouth is, oh, the film is blurry, oh, this and oh, that. Do you understand what we're dealing with here? We're dealing that a creature that's been eluding man for 500 years, for crying out loud, moves very quickly in terrain that takes us a long time to go in an hour. Understand what you're dealing with. Know what your subject matter is, folks, before you start tearing people up. Another thing, while I'm on a tirade this evening, whatever time of where you are in this world, I'm hearing that, you know, this Bigfoot Lunch Club, somebody sends it to me, oh, hey, Tom, did you catch this? Catch what? Oh, they're saying that somebody now in the near future is going to get to see or find Bigfoot and bring it to the front because of what I just talked about, because of the monumental strides that our scholastic world is bringing to the front, because they're finally saying, hey, man, there's something to this because there's so many sightings around this country. And the work that Dr. Ketchum is doing. You know, Melba Ketchum, if you had any decency about yourself, you'd return my samples and all the other samples that you've taken from people. And then, BFRO, they're doing great things because they have these weekend trips, charge people, remember that, quote-unquote, charge people to go out on these hunts. And they find prints and they find casts. They make casts and they're hearing vocalizations. And for crying out loud, I've been doing it for over 40 years. What else is new? All the above. Ketchum didn't have anything before we started it off with all the other people. She was on our radio show. She got all those people to send those samples in. All false hope. And the only way you're going to get any Bigfoot out there is putting boots on the ground and find out exactly what you got out there and go on expedition. I'm tired of ranting and raving, but it just got to me today, Bill, and I had to bring it out. I'm sorry.
Well, hold it down, Tom. Hold it down.
Yeah, as you know,
we have an open forum here.
You bet.
And we've had an open forum for 7 years now.
You bet.
And guess what?
Why is it, Marco Bill, that we're still here? The smoke cleared. All the smoke and mirrors cleared. All those tricks, all that bullshit has stopped. But we're still here, aren't we?
Well, yeah. And one of the other things you got to realize, Tom, is you can't really blame a lot of other people for not believing. Because when you go and you Google the Internet, I mean, almost anything you see, it's very difficult to determine garbage from real. And so it makes it so difficult that people happen to probably go to the negative side versus the positive side of believing. But what we always tell our people, our guests and everybody else, is without any fear, they can come on our show. They can tell their story. We keep their confidentiality secret so people can't bug them and bother them or harass them. And allows them a method of being able to, one, release what they saw, and two, release a lot of people are it's a life changing experience, and some people can't go to sleep at night and other stuff like that, and the first people that they talk to is their family and friends, and the family and friends are the first ones to tell them they don't believe them, and that hurts. So, I mean, having somebody believe in what you saw, especially when you know you saw what you saw, it's an important thing. And I think that's what we provide people on this show.
And you know what? You're exactly right, Bill. And I will do a little P.S. to what you just said. Ladies and gentlemen, I forgive me if you feel that I've got some tension built up in me. Forgive me. I don't mean to badmouth or say anything bad about anybody, but my gosh, you know what it costs? We're all over the country, okay? Gasoline today is not cheap, okay? When you go out on expedition, it costs money today. It's easy for, this is our job, this is our life, this is what we do, just like you out there. You know, you get up in the morning, you take a shower, you shave if you're a guy, you primp if you're a woman, you're a bag luncher, you bag your lunch, you have your breakfast, you kiss your wife and kids if you're a guy, you leave and you go to work, and vice versa if it's a woman, okay? And those poor women today, because two of the households have to work because things so sky high. You know, if they have children, they're getting them in the car and bringing them to the babysitter, and then they're putting in full 8 hours. And then they come back and do the same thing. Starts all over again, cooking, cleaning, preparing for the next day. It's tough. I know that, people. But all I'm trying to say to the world out there, for crying out loud, give people the benefit of the doubt. Weigh both sides. see for yourself before you're so damn critical. By the way, before I forget, because I'm getting older now, ladies and gentlemen, Lee Joyner, if you're listening there, call in. I want to know what happened to the big conference that they had in Texas over the weekend, because you called me, you told me you were going to let me know. So Lee Joyner, if you're out there, you got your ears on, or anybody's got his number, give him a call and tell him to call into the show. Well, was I on the show last week, Bill? I forgot. Okay, good. So did you have
you're in transit.
Okay, did you have some good stuff going on? Something I missed?
Absolutely, every week.
Isn't that wonderful? That is just wonderful. I love to hear that. And I'm noticing tonight you got some great stuff. And without any benefit of the doubt, because I've been ranting and raving here for 17 minutes, let's go and talk to our newfound friend, Brian, up in Oregon. Brian, you out there?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
I'm well, Brian. How are you?
I'm good. Just enjoy listening to you.
Well, hey, listen, it's I don't mean to ramble on, but sometimes I get a little ticked off, if you know what I'm talking about.
You have the right.
And you know what? This is a free world, and we've got a right to do that. Now, wow, I'm seeing some stuff here. You had an encounter, and you and your coworkers were trimming some trees in the logging area. What happened?
Well, let me start off by I live in Oregon. This is in the Salem area. That's all I can really say. And unfortunately, I didn't get to see the encounter, but these two guys that I work with, that I'm referred to as the Bigfoot guy at work. You know, I talk about it a lot. I try to get people open up and you know, see what they think, their two cents about Bigfoot. And yesterday after work, these two guys came up to me in a quiet fashion and told me what happened to them. And just the intensity in their eyes and, you know, the way they told the story, I thought it was good enough for me to, you know, call in and say, hey, this is what happened. And so they were trimming trees off the side of the interstate or the highway, and one was in the bucket truck. Up in the bucket, we trimmed trees out of power lines, and he was up in the bucket, and he looked up in this ridge line where there was a freshly cut unit of Douglas fir, and he stared for a minute, and he looked down to the guy on the ground and said, hey, check this out, and they both got a pretty good 15, 20-second shot of a really large, black, they said around 8 foot or better, on 2 feet, go right across the canyon, ridge line, and back up into the timber within about 20 seconds. So they got a really good daytime sighting, and they were flabbergasted, and they're like, they didn't know who to tell, that I wouldn't judge them, and you know, it was a relief that they told somebody and they got the feedback of awesome, not you're crazy, you know. So it was pretty incredible, you know. And they talked about it more today, and they, you know, their story hasn't changed, and they know what they saw. So, and that's about what happened.
How long ago was this, Brian?
This was yesterday.
This was just yesterday.
This was yesterday, and, you know, I had thoughts of going up to where they were to go check it out, see if I had tracks, but as soon as work ended up, we got out of work. Here comes the rain, and I hear from a lot of Bigfoot researchers that every time there's a good sighting or you want to get some evidence, the weather hits you. So, but that's exactly what happened. So I just didn't feel the urge to get up there, knowing that everything that happened is going to be rained on. So, yep, it was yesterday.
Wow. Let me ask you this. You know, you said that they call you the Bigfoot guy, right?
That's right.
Okay. Do you know anything about the migrational times of the year of these creatures?
I studied a little bit about, you know, them following herds, and you know, I don't know the exact migration.
Okay. Well, we're going into it right now. This is springtime. As a matter of fact, I think, isn't today the first day of spring, Bill?
Well, it's somewhere near that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, Brian, what happens is between now and the end of May, these things are going to be moving. They're kind of like animals, kind of like birds.
Mm-hmm.
okay? They migrate depending on the seasons. The only ones that don't migrate are the ones that have found serenity, have found peace, have found water and enough vegetation, enough food sources for them to live. And they found serenity there in those areas where they are because there's not human beings. And they've nestled out a place to live for the rest of their lives, I guess. Especially with the older ones or females that's about ready to pop, and they just happen to stay in those locations. But what you need to do, Brian, is keep your ears close to the ground now and your eyes up in the trees and see what's going on like you're doing, and you're doing a great job, and I appreciate you sharing with my audience around the globe here, because you're going to be seeing a lot more of this.
I hope so. I do have plans to go back up there, and you know, and I've never done my own little reconnaissance mission or anything, you know, but I think it's time. It's really got me ready to get my foot out the door and spend some weekends up in the timber and see what I can find. So I'm excited.
The guys that saw the creature, did they embellish and tell you what it looked like? Did they see the face or anything?
They didn't give me a facial description. They did say it was big, black, and running pretty fast. It was on 2 feet. And that's all they really said. You know, I didn't ask them about if they got to see any. It would have been around 200 to 300 yards, which is a good distance, but still, you know, you're able to see, you know, the silhouette of a creature, whether it's four legged or two legged at that distance. But yeah, they didn't give me any really deep, solid, like muscle tone or tone head or anything like that. They just trying to make sure that both of them were seeing what they saw, you know, and the looks and in their eyes and the way they told the story, you could tell they were pulling my leg. They were really excited, and they were skeptics that I'm pretty sure they're true believers now. Just their attitude.
They all become believers real quick, too, I'll tell you. Well, listen,
yeah.
Thanks so much for sharing. Just mute yourself.
Hey, Tom, wait 1 second. He's got one other thing that he forgot. Hey, Brian, why don't you tell him about that other issue you were talking about somebody mistaking you in one of the films and stuff.
Sure. As I told you guys earlier, I'm a tree trimmer. I go across the country from Canada down to California trimming BPA lines, and now I'm working locally. But if you guys are familiar with the McKinley River Bigfoot sighting, where there's some gentlemen, the fishing guys, are going down the river on a drift boat, and unbeknownst to them, they had filmed what they thought was a Sasquatch, and they made it on Finding Bigfoot, and it was pretty big news for them, and they, you know, Finding Bigfoot investigated and stuff. But what I've come to believe, and I did my research of when that was taken and when I was working, there's a power line on that side of the river, and we happened to be working in that area at the same time, and what I used to wear to work when it was cold was black coveralls, black sweatshirt, black hoodie, and I'm 99% sure that was me on that day that they filmed, and it ended up being Bigfoot footage. So, and the truth is I think I was on the edge of the river doing my business. You know?
I don't mean to laugh. I'm laughing with you, partner. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
I've seen two episodes of Finding Bigfoot.
Uh-huh.
The first one, I fell asleep after about 8.5 minutes. The second one I saw, and he's got a thermal imager, and he's calling the guy Boo Boo Bubble. What's that
Bubble,
guy's name?
Yeah. His name's Bubble.
Boo Boo the Clown? What's his name?
That's it, yes.
Bubble.
I don't know. So anyhow, he says, look, I got something in the thermal. Oh, my God, that's a Squatch, he goes. I says, really? Wow, I'm looking at this. I says, and I see something bipedal, and it's a heat signature. And I says to myself, he sent the other two guys that were with him, that gal and the other guy, to go up at the top point and then walk back to them. I says to myself, doesn't he understand that's part of his team? So as they get closer to it, guess who it was, Brian?
His team?
Yeah, hello? So guess what? You know, they saw one, and here it is, you, which it probably was, and then lo and behold, the same thing would happen in the second episode I ever watched of the damn thing. Ironic, isn't it?
It is. It's amazing that they, you know, we were talking about this last night, but they would go out into the timber or the woods, do their investigations with a 10-man camera crew, and every producer and that you can possibly think of is out there in the timber, and they're making their noises and doing their calls and stuff for about 45 minutes, trying to call in a squatch when they have half a football team out there looking for one. And
you've made my day, young man. I hope to see you real soon. Just mute yourself out. We'll have you back at the end of the hour.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Nice guy, ladies and gentlemen, Brian. He just made my day anyway. Let's go to commercial, Bill.
Well, here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, Tom.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's a great, great movie. If you never have seen it, go and get it. Amazon.com. Go to our searchingforbigfoot.com. I'm very proud of that movie. That's when those two clowns from Georgia hoaxed us and a lot of other people around the world. I don't want to say any more about that. Just go out. From what I understand, too, Bill, I understand he's got another body in Texas. Have you heard that one lately?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't pay any attention to that. I get a lot of calls from people asking me if it's real. And I tell them, I'm not going to say it's not, but basically based on previous performance and previous experience, I wouldn't believe a thing they say.
Amazing, isn't it? It's totally
yeah.
Amazing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, talking about amazing, we're going back out to the Four Corners. We were just not too far from there. And say hello to my good buddy, it's like my son, Dave Ortiz. How you doing, young man?
Hey, I'm doing well, fairly well. I've got a little cold flu going on, but I'm doing okay.
Well, good. I mean, I've even heard about some stuff that's going up out there by you guys. Somebody has taken some film and in the New Mexico area. What the hell's going on?
I'm not sure if I've heard anything like that, like a professional group or something?
No. Another guy was out, you know, just like this woman and all the rest of these people. They're out in the woods hiking or camping or doing something, and the next thing you find out, boom, they're taking photos or footage.
Yes, I remember that one now. Yeah, there had been a photo circulating out around the area, actually very close to town. And there was a creature sitting on top of a hill near a residence, and I think it happened with it was originally an ambulance run, and the ambulance driver took the picture as they were getting some tools, a medical equipment, and snapped about three photos, actually, of a creature supposedly walking the top of a small ridge above the house, and there's power lines up there, so I assume that there might be a road up there. I didn't have too many stats about it, though. It's kept very secret, so other than just seeing the picture and hearing that a paramedic took it, that's kind of all the news we ever got out of it.
Yeah.
But
And you and I both know, after being in this for as long as we have, for crying out loud, you know, this is the time of year these things are on the move. And that's what's happening. And, of course, people who are, as the weather is getting better, as you know, is just getting more and more people out there seeing these things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I'm grateful for that. I got to be honest with you. It's a beautiful thing to see that this stuff is still there and it's going large.
Yeah, it is, actually. And just had another report. Actually, I did a little investigation starting Friday. In the general area that we did an expedition, what was it, about 4 years ago at the river?
Uh-huh.
On the Farmington city limits, actually. And this would actually be about between a half mile to a mile upstream in that general area from that spot we were at. I have a friend that lives there. I've mentioned his name before. He lives just right off the river, and there's also a neighborhood nearby. He had called me up actually Wednesday, and he was actually on the phone. And there's some islands on the river, and we've always wanted to take a look at these. Well, at this time, it's accessible to those islands, at least one of the islands, because the tributary isn't quite flowing yet until the runoff gets a little higher up from the mountains. But he said that he had taken a hike, and while he was talking with me, he says, "Dave, I'm hearing noises in this little island. I'm not." I said, "Are you on the island?" He says, "Well, on the very edge of it." And he doesn't really know much about Bigfoot. I mean, you know, this is how I could trust him, because he doesn't know the characteristics. He's lightly known about it, but just, you know, not any details. Well, while he's talking to me, he's telling me that he says, "Dave, I just got two rocks thrown at me." I said, "You're kidding me." I said, and there was mud, you know, down there where that former tributary is. He says, "Yeah, I just got two rocks just hurled at me, and or just to the side of me, but didn't hit me." He says, "I'm also starting to smell a stink, and I'm hearing shuffling on that island." I said, "Well," I said, "do you got any weapons?" He says, "No, I don't have anything." I said, "Well, I think you better just get off that little island," you know. So he did, and he also told me that he heard like branches breaking. And I said, "Well, if it was a deer or something, you know, I'd say it's just something normal. But to have rocks thrown at you, that's a different situation." So he got back on. There's a series of trails around this area where he's at. It's a riverine park, actually. And he had also called me back later, and he says, "Dave, you got to see this. I got to show you this." He likes to kind of walk through the Russian olive. It's just a real nasty tree-like weed that has a lot of spines on it and things like that. So, but he did find some trails on the opposite end of the park, which is another half mile away. So he says, "Dave, you got to come out here." So I finally was able to make it Friday, 2 days later, and he did show me these places in the Russian olive he was talking about. They're what we believe to be like stick tree formations. There was actually a nest with a little roof. I'm going to send the pictures to Marco Bill for all of you to see. And there's actually like a nest-like formation. It's low. It's not real high. Probably maybe 3.5-4 feet tall. There is a log in the middle of this nest, and then there's these stick formations that just kind of weave into the Russian olive. And nobody in their right mind would go deep into that Russian olive to create these, like these sticks that are just wound among each other, you know, to create like a star-like shape. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even dare get close to it. Those spines will rip your clothes, your skin, but something did that, obviously. And there's even an entrance that has these branches going over it. And this particular spot isn't very far from the neighborhood. In fact, if you move just a few feet off to the south, you can actually see the houses probably 250, 300 yards away. They're not far. But we've come to the conclusion that these creatures have actually intruded into the city limits proper now. We have Bigfoot in Farmington.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And all the people who've been looking for all these years have seen it and verified it, just like we have. Mm-hmm. Now, I got to ask you something.
Sure.
What do you think about all these sightings all over the country lately?
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of stories about that. You know, not just our area, everywhere in the United States. They're increasing. You know, the past theory was that people are just seeing them more often because they're going out in the country and traveling and or walking, things like that, hiking. I just believe that they are just simply increasing. And our good friend Brenda actually invited me on to a Bigfoot hunt. Well, we don't call it a hunt, more of an investigation on her property in certain areas because she's getting a lot of activity right now too. I couldn't go because I've got, you know, this little bug going on. But she told me too. She goes, Dave, these things are increasing. We haven't been on her property, she says, any more than we did 10, 15 years ago, but we're seeing and experiencing these creatures passing through our property a lot more often. So that kind of reflects what's going on in the United States. And I don't know if it's like what you talked about, weather patterns that are, you know, shifting animals around looking for food, because, you know, food does seem to be a little more scarce at times, especially when the weather patterns are not raining, when they're raining in one spot and not in the other. In Arizona, we had they had a big old fire there. What was it, 3-4 years ago? I can't even remember the name. It was in the White Mountains.
Yeah, it's on the Apache Reservation. And I remember that very, like it was yesterday, due to the fact that it moved a lot of these creatures from the high elevation down into the tribe's land.
Yeah, and there's even some theory that some of these creatures may have even come back into this area, you know, in search of food, you know, sustainable food and water. And that could be part of it, too, the natural forces, generally, that are causing these animals to migrate into areas.
Dave, have you ever heard any more from the brothers over there?
No, I really haven't. I haven't heard anything. I see them on Facebook, and I they're not on very often either. So I don't know if they're not, you know, they may not be seeing any more Bigfoots in the area, but I would think at this time, it was just like what you and TJ had told me years ago, that they do seem to return almost to the exact day that you saw them the year before or several years before.
Great so this memory. Would be You've got a time. Great memory. You're exactly oh, thank you. Right. I got a call last week. Didn't get a call because the new thing today is texting, okay?
Yeah.
And I hate it. I think it's the most disgusting thing in the world. So I get this text from a friend of ours. You know him too, but I'm not going to mention his name, in Arizona. Uh-huh. Telling me that somebody took footage of a creature on the Apache, in the White Mountains, on the Apache Reservation.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, right away I get on the horn, I talk to AK, and AK is in the hospital, he had a hip replaced.
Oh.
And he told me, he says, Tom, he says, I heard the same scuttlebutt, but I don't know what's going on, but you know, if it's out there, we'll find out about it, and we'll get you to be back here the first one ever. And I trust him. I trust the chairman and all the other fine folk that we've been out there. They've been up pretty good to us. We were the first ones ever out there, ladies and gentlemen. In case you didn't know that, investigating upon their invitation at the Apaches on the White Mountains. So if you keep your ears close to the ground on that, let me know what's going on out there by you. How's the Walmart guy doing?
Oh, he's doing good. He's doing real good. Actually, he did come with our investigation, too. he tagged along for it. And, you know, we didn't actually find any physical evidence other than that. You know, it could still be anything. It could be children doing this, but it's highly unlikely. I mean, there wouldn't be kids playing in this Russian olive material that's growing around. But it shows a lot of the signs that we've seen in previous areas that we do have Sasquatch-type creatures very, very close by, and the reports are still coming through all through that whole valley.
I know. You know, I got to tell you something. Brian from Oregon really made my night tonight.
Huh.
When he, you know, all that hoopla up in Oregon,
mm-hmm.
and here he is at Tree Trevor, and he, you know, he had his black hoodie on. He's up in the trees and up in that area, and as these people are floating down the river, they're taking pictures and stuff, and they're saying, "There's a Bigfoot," and it actually probably was Brian. You know, it just goes to show you how people get screwed up. Their imaginations just run wild, don't they?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It you know, things like that do happen.
Yeah,
and we have
yeah.
to use our eyes and our ears and discern. And if we have any extra help with electronic equipment to, you know, help verify, that's even better.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm in the looking at the chat room right now, and Jay Rafferty, thank you so much for your comments, and Joel Logan, thank you so much for your comments. They're commenting on the trailer of our new movie Pursuit. You need to take a look at that and let me know what you think.
Okay, great.
Mr. Ortiz, you haven't said a damn thing. That proves one thing to me, that you haven't been to our website, searchingforbigfoot.com.
I have been on it intermittently.
this is our first. It's in the realm of the Blair Witch. But look at the trailer and tell me what you think. Will you do that for me?
I sure will, Tom.
Did you hear me at all?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
okay,
I will go check
out
that trailer.
Take a look at it. Let me know, okay? I want you to tell me what you think.
Okay, I'll do
all
that.
Right? And Joel Logan and Jay Rafferty, I want to thank you for your comments. And here's a guy. I want to read this to you guys. Listen to this. This is from Jay Rafferty, okay? I hope the show goes well tonight. I've only been able to hear via Podomatic. I have no idea what that is. Think new movie will be a big hit. I just saw Bigfoot Lives Again on Netflix, and the Ivan Marks one as well. It looks like the Survivor Man from TV has been something strange. I am always hoping that Tom's team will be the ones to prove this creature is real. John Rafferty. John Rafferty, God bless you, man, and peace. I like that guy. and by the way, the Gentle Giant just says hi to me and everybody else out there. He's listening on the phone. Good to hear you, that you're there too, son. All right, well, listen, mute yourself out. We're going to have a round-robin meeting at the end here, and thanks for your input tonight. David, I appreciate it.
Oh, you betcha, Tom. It's great being on the show.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, he's like my own boys. He's been with me for a long time. He's out there in Four Corners, Farmington. Great, great guy. Without any further ado, let's get out there to Virginia. And you know what, Anthony? I wasn't far from you in the last few days. How are you?
Doing well, Tom. And to hear you weren't far from me, I should give me a clue together somewhere.
You know, let me tell you what you just sounded like to me. Well, hi, Anthony. That's how you sounded. Why is that happening, Bill?
Don't know why it's happening. Can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you loud and clear. Were you on speaker?
Yeah.
That's why. We caught you. Tell us what's going on, son.
Oh, man. Well, to hear you were nearby and not had a chance to meet up with you.
You have no idea. You know, it's snowing where I'm at right now, and 3 days ago it was 80 degrees down in Florida. So, you know, forgive me, but, you know, I'm trying to beat a schedule like you wouldn't believe. It's crazier than hell. Did you hear about my new movie?
Yep, I was listening to the your trailer being posted on the website.
Did you see it?
No.
What'd you think?
I am so sorry to say that because I was trying to get my internet up and running. but that's okay. By the time I get it up and running at the end of the show, I will be watching the trailer.
Let me know your thoughts on that, Anthony, because I'm curious. And I've been hearing so much from people around the globe, and they're all saying the same thing. Oh, my God, Tom, this looks intriguing. It looks like it's a big winner, a lot of drama, a lot of adventure, a lot of intrigue. And this is
we had our own adventure, so.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did, and thanks to you is the reason why we were there. What's been going on in that area?
Well, just so happens I was there today. I was talking to our friends that live down at the end of that road, and we had a nice long conversation, but he was telling me
there?
That him. Yeah, I'm still here. Can
about
you hear me?
The German lady?
Yep, that's the one, but it was her husband and her son that are frequently hearing things out there. And today, while he was telling me some of his experiences, I mean, we heard them. I mean, walking out there, and I mean, it sounds like, you know, I don't know, God walking, because it was like, boom, boom. I mean, it was unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, they really shake the ground when they walk, you know. And And he was just describing it to me. And then I'm like, did you hear that? He says, yeah, I heard that. And to me, that was something, but he hears it quite often, you know. And like I said, it was, you know, to me, I'm thinking they're going to, you know, part the forest, you know. I mean, that's how huge, I mean, this thunderous walking that was coming through the woods, man, it's just unbelievable.
You know, I got to tell you, Anthony, I just went out on a short jaunt for a couple of days in Florida, and you have no idea. I mean, the weather hit 80, 81, 83 degrees, I guess, was the highest. And we were out there in those swamps. And I'll be damned if we were setting bait and cameras, four of them, I think, just three of them. And we all shut up. There were six of us out there. And my God, we heard something very heavy come through the brush about 200-300 yards away. And to hear something that far away and run through the damn brush, and, you know, you can hear the twigs and the leaf litter crackling and all that kind of stuff, it scares you a little bit.
Oh, you ain't kidding.
You know what I mean?
You ain't kidding.
So it's, I know what's going on. So what are you determining down there? What's going on?
It seems like there's a lot more activity lately. Why that is, I'm not sure. But it seems like every time I run into that homeowner there, he's telling me that they've been, you know, if it wasn't for his son, you know, his son had just recently got some LASIK surgery, so he's been noticing a whole lot more without his glasses. And he's been, you know, hearing a whole lot more at nighttime, you know. They've been hearing a lot of what sounds like monkey chatter and some, he says sometimes it sounds like there's women screaming out there in the forest, you know, and some deep grunting. He says they're constantly hearing grunting sounds, you know.
Do you ever hear any more from the guy up in New York?
No, I hadn't.
You don't hear from him anymore, huh?
The guy from New York?
Well, what's that town next to you where we introduced you to him?
Is that Richard?
Yeah. Yeah. You hear from
him? I think
anymore?
I got some emails from him.
And?
And that was about it, you know. Show me some pictures of what possibly could be a face or not, you know.
You know what? Let's get in. I didn't know it was this lot. Here I am just lollygaggling around here. Let's get everybody else back on. Let's get Dave, why don't you come on back? Brian, why don't you come on back? And I'm going to introduce all of you guys to one of my cohorts in crime, my brother from another mother, Rocky. Rocky from Arkansas, are you out there?
So you bet I am.
How are you feeling, young man?
I'm still tired, Tom.
You know, I got to tell you something. I just can't believe this crazy weather. Back up here in Ohio, it's snowing like hell. When we were, it was 83, and I understand you back in, it was raining like hell. But we're not going to give a weather report to say where we're at. Why don't we just do this? Why don't you tell everybody we're out there in the swamp, and what did we all hear?
Well, okay, I live in bear country. I know what bears sound like walking through the woods, and I can guarantee you that's not what we heard. I think the funniest thing that I heard when we was out there is when we heard whatever it was walking through the woods, when our new buddy Josh, as soon as he heard him, what he said was, "I'm going home." He was not sticking around. He was ready to go. What we heard, in my mind, I mean, I just can't see it as being anything other than something large on two legs.
Yeah. We all come up with that, the same thing. And ladies and gentlemen, we were down there with before I go in there, I got to tell, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the rig, And we got a call around midnight. This was Eastern time. And I had just got through having two of them, and I was trying to get something to eat. So he had finished his eating. I said, can you take this call? I want you to tell everybody about the call from Monroe, Louisiana. But you had it on speaker, but I want you to tell the audience around the globe exactly what was said.
Okay. The woman came on. She said, I have a Bigfoot on my front porch.
What?
And it's trying to get in the house.
Oh, my.
What do I do? I said, okay. I said, do you have a gun? And she said, yeah, I have a whole bunch of guns. She said, I have a 50 caliber with 500 grain bullets in it. And I said, point at center of mine, pull the trigger until the gun going bang. And she said, well, she said, I didn't need to call you to know that.
Wait, it gets better, okay? So she hangs up, right?
Well, she hangs up, and I'm looking at Tom. Of course, you know, Tom's having a hard time getting these French fries down and laughing both. So anyhow, the phone rings again and says, it's the same woman. And she says, well, I shot it. I shot it right in the face. I said, okay. Well, said, well, where is it now? She said, it's in the swamp. My boys are trying to get it out of the swamp.
Now, don't say no more. Don't say no more. Don't say no more. Okay?
Okay.
So then she hangs up.
Are you really not jealous of me, Mark?
We call her back and tell her what happened.
Called her back, and she said, my boys have got it out of the swamp, and we skinned it up with a buck knife and threw it on the grill.
Skinned it up and threw it on the grill? Oh, my God.
This night didn't stop there, let me tell you, okay? It got worse. Now, let me tell you what happened, all right? And I gave her hell on the phone. You should have heard. I said some words that a truck driver don't say, okay? Or a guy working in the bar. I got so ticked off at her, wasting my damn time. Then we get a call from a guy that was crying, okay? And I couldn't understand him because I don't speak Arkansas-ese or Kentucky-ese or Alabama-ese and all that other crap. So I said, here, talk to my friend Rocky. Rocky has a PhD in linguistics, and no matter what he comes out and says or people say, he can tell you, give you a great definition. So tell them what happened about the guy that couldn't stay at his house, that he had to go get a motel. This is the same night, ladies and gentlemen. We phoned right after the one with the lady from Monroe.
Okay, the man called, and by the way, I speak Arkansas-er. That's what English is based on. I was having a hard time understanding what he was saying, but he said that his wife is gone, that the thing had got his wife, and that he wanted to come and help him get it. Well, he was crying. I was having a hard time understanding him. Well, okay, where are you? Well, I'm at the motel. Okay, he gives us the name of the motel, but he doesn't know what room. So fortunately, Tom, being a little bit smarter than him, said, open the door and look at the numbers on the outside. Anyhow, we got the room number. And anyhow, so okay, we're about 4 hours away. Give us some directions and we'll be there. Well, he just went on and on. He was crying. He was blubbering. We couldn't make any sense of him. So said, okay, just, you know, when we get closer, we'll contact you and we'll have a meeting. I don't want to have a meeting. I want to go kill the thing. I said, well, okay, but we're... 4 hours away. So, anyhow.
I'll take the story from here. At that point in time, I said, I'm not driving this another minute towards this clown. I said, I'm going to call 911, the police department, and tell them the situation. So I called them up, talked to the dispatcher, told the dispatcher what we had. This man is distraught. The one thing that Rocky forgot to tell you guys out there was this thing had absconded with his wife. The wife was gone for 2 days. They had a complete search party out looking for her. They finally found her after 2 days, and she was in this Bigfoot's lair and apparently had been violated. Did you hear what I said, ladies and gentlemen? Violated. They took her to the hospital. They took her to the hospital to examine her and apparently find out what the problem was and all that kind of crap. Make a long story short, we couldn't get a hold of the guy no more. He pop up now and then. He happens to pop up this last Saturday or Sunday or whatever the hell day it was. And I says to myself, I'm going to get the police involved. I call the police. I tell a story to the dispatcher. The dispatcher says to me, she says, oh, my God, is this something that's out of the Inquirer? Is this for real? I said, it's important to you as it was reported to me. And if something, if this guy's a psychopath or going to try to commit suicide or something, he's in your town, I think you should know. She says, we're going to send over a unit, a black and white. Thank you. I gave her my phone number. Please call me back and let me know what happened. Well, I'll be damned. If they're not out there after about 10 minutes, they go knocking on the door, and he is already gone. Where did he go, Rocky?
You know, that's a good question. He was on his way. He was on his way to wherever it was that the lair was. They were loaded up with guns and gasoline, going to burn it out and shoot it. And we said, give us an address. We will meet you there. And anyhow, so he said, I'm texting you an address. Well, okay, I speak Arkansas here, but what he put on the phone, I'm at a total loss as to what any of it was. Well, I handed the phone to Tom, and he looked at it, and he got the same conclusion that I did. And then Mr. Bill and decided that it was, you know, some kind of space alien language that we couldn't any of us understand.
Listen. We only got a minute left, but I had to bring this out, ladies and gentlemen. And this was just a minute time out of a 24-hour period of the stuff we go through. I want you to close by saying one thing. What's it like when we're out together on an expedition? And by the way, we're going to continue this next Wednesday. And Rocky, I want you to help co-host the show, because for all the people that speak Alabamanese and Tennesseanese and Kentuckyese and Arkansas-yer and all the other stuff, I'm going to have you as, for the next couple of three shows, as our interpreter. How's that?
Okay, if you can understand anything I'm saying.
Does anybody got any questions for any of the guests out there real quick?
Hey, Tom, we haven't given Brian a chance to ask some questions, and we can take more time.
You sure?
Yes, we can. We can take as much time as we need.
Go ahead, ask questions. You've got a whole panel of answers here, I'm sure.
You know, well, you're the guys I want to talk to. So I was talking, you know, Bigfoot today with the guys that saw it, and, you know, their question to me was, well, actually, not from them, but the guys next to me, look, their question to me was, if there's Bigfoot out there, how come we've never found one or a body or nothing? You know, and all I could tell them was, well, how many times have you found the carcass of a bear or a cougar? And we're out in the woods all the time. But go ahead.
No, I'm saying that was a good answer. I live in bear country, and I've lived in bear country for 60 years, and I've never seen a bear skeleton in the woods.
And I've used that a lot to people that ask me that question. What do you guys think about You know, they're living in caves and underground. Or, I mean, do they? Do you guys believe that they migrate, or do they stay in a local area, or how far do you think they migrate, or do they have homes? You know, that's the question.
Is that for me?
Some do, some don't.
There you go. That's the Gentle Giant. Thank you for putting your two cents in. You know, there's a guy named Rick from Las Vegas.
Oh, no. Know
that idiot that I...
the potato sack man.
I have no idea. It just says rick9000@cox.net.
You're giving him too much time, Tom.
No. Listen here. I don't know if this is him or not. But it concerns you, Rocky. You might want to go up to our where you sign in. And it says, I am writing out of concern over the last two shows on a podcast, particularly show 331, where one of your guests by the name of Rocky, when he describing an ape-like creature, stated, to tell you the truth, it looked like Obama had been down and visited some of his relatives and had a love child. I don't remember that, but did you say that, Rocky?
I'm guilty.
Okay, then it says, on show 333, the same guest describes a picture of a male and a female primate saying one was Obama smoking a cigarette. Those comments were obviously racist in nature, and nothing was done or said to reprimand the guest in any way. I've listened to you and enjoyed your shows along with my young sons, and I know that these comments in no way reflect the opinion of your show. I simply ask that in the future you please refrain from making such a flat-out racist, offensive comment about the president. P.S., even though I happen to be a Republican. Rick, I don't know who you are. First of all, I apologize if it offended you or your children listening to this. This is the first time I'm seeing this. This was put on our thing here tonight. I don't even know if I was there on the shows. Was I on the show, Rocky, when this went on? Or was it
no,
you who filled?
This was all me.
Okay.
No, you weren't on that night.
Okay, so I was not on. I'm going to give you an opportunity at this point in time if you want to apologize, and if you don't, your reasons why. I feel that everybody has equal time here. What do you say about it?
Well, first, you know, if his kids were offended by it, I'm sorry, but, you know, as an adult, I think that maybe he should be a little bit less thin-skinned. And, you know, we still live in America, and our opinions are our opinions, whether they hurt people's feelings or not. If he was upset about it, like I say, I can't, what I said was said jokingly. And so, you know, as far as an apology, I apologize to his kids if they were offended, but, you know, if he's an adult, he needs to, well, he just needs to just ease up a little bit. You know, life's short. Have fun. Drink a little.
Okay. Well, I gave you the opportunity, and Rick from Las Vegas, I hope that you heard it loud and clear. And, oh, by the way, and you're exactly right, we have, since it is a live show, we don't have a 60-second delay and any of the cursing that goes on, even though it's permitted on this show. We didn't have the chance to edit. We just tell it like it is, and it's another viewpoint of someone else. And I asked him, as I wrote or read what you wrote, I gave Rocky a chance to have his fair share of a retort back to you. And like he said,
I will refrain if it's going to upset people. But, you know how I am.
I have no doubt in my mind, but I'm glad that you did apologize to his children. And, yes, you know, maybe be a little bit less thin-skinned. That came from you. And I want everybody out there to know around the globe, okay, what are the comments and comes out of people's minds or mouths today on our show, in particular with our guests, okay? I want you to understand sometimes it may not be the same feeling or understanding that comes from Bill and myself. Do you have anything to say about that, Bill?
Well, yes. I agree with you. And and it's true. And we don't what we try to have here is an open forum for everybody. An open forum so that they can it's a difficult thing in the Bigfoot world to present present their stories and encounters, experiences. As you know, sometimes it ends up that it's not an encounter. It ends up being something else after we've done the investigation. But that's okay. We want everybody to have the freedom to be able to come on this show and to be able to feel comfortable about talking about their experience and encounter without any harassment, without any other type of interference. And that's why we keep confidentiality so clean and clear with all of our guests, and we keep them isolated from any of this stuff. That's all I got to say. I mean, pretty much.
I want everybody to know that, you know, I've got grandkids too, and, you know, I wouldn't say anything that's going to upset kids, and, you know, if that's what happens, you know, I'm sorry about that. I'll be a little bit more careful about how I word stuff, but at the same time, if you'd have been there, you know, you may have understood more what I was talking about. But nevertheless, yeah, I tend to say what comes to my mind goes out my mouth without any interruption in between. So, you know, if you
God
were...
Thank God it didn't come out your other hole.
Absolutely. Well, sometimes that happens, too. But,
oh,
know,
Rocky, I love you in spite of yourself. Listen.
You offended, sorry.
You bet, buddy. Don't worry about it. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, you want to hear some more of this kind of stuff? Stay tuned next week because I'm going to have Mr. Rocky on the show. And, again, he's going to be our interpreter. And I'm sure that he's going to put a few zingers in now and then. So if you want some more banter and more canter, listen until next week. Miss Calabash, wherever you are, I miss you, darling. I hope you're feeling better. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Marco. Good night, Tom. Good night, Circus Marcus.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We love them together, reason for the facts.